Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where usually we're interviewing guests in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences. But today we're going to do another Wednesday mini episode. Today we're going to get into three pieces of advice that I've received over the years that I felt like genuinely changed my running. So let's get into it. All right, welcome back. I want to say before we start that the feedback for these mini episodes has been really positive so far. So thank you if you've given me any feedback. And if you have any additional feedback, please always feel free to DM me on Instagram. It's at myfirstmarathonpod. Or you can always shoot me an email as well. That is myfirstmarathonpod@gmail.com. I love any and all feedback, and I'm really glad that you guys are loving this so far. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like I said, today we're going to be talking about three pieces of advice that I feel like genuinely changed running for me in some shape, form, or fashion. And when I was trying to think about what three things I would talk about, I didn't want them to just be really obvious things like, oh, I started out too fast in a race, or like some of those things that I feel like come up pretty often. I tried to pick things that stuck with me enough that they keep coming up to me still a couple of years into my running journey. So we're going to talk about those today. The first thing that I feel like genuinely helped me was slow down to get fast. And this is something that has come up for me in different phases of my running career as well. That's why I wanted to put this one on the list, because I know that's one that you've probably heard a lot, like the 80-20 rule or some resources like that talk a lot about going slow to eventually get faster. To start, I think the reason why I was able to stick with running this time around versus past lives where I've tried to train for a 10K or something like that in college, I think the reason why running stuck this time is because I didn't have any pressure on myself in the beginning. When I first started my running journey, I did a lot of walking. Like, there wasn't a lot of running that I was actually doing when I was starting to kind of get used to just being outside and building a routine around running. And then when I started running, I was going out pretty slow because I wasn't worried about pace. I had been so worried about paces and goals and stuff like that in the past that with this time around, I was like, you know, I have nothing to lose. I was in a really crummy point in my life where I was like, literally, who cares? Is the point that I got to. And I think that that ended up working out really well for me and why I'm still enjoying running today. It's because I really took my time to build a relationship with running and like really understand why I was running and why I was out there without having those time goals on myself. Now, this came up again later in my running journey. I talked a little bit about my injury on the last mini episode. And I think that this came up after I got injured again, because when I got injured or before I got injured, I was training for a time goal. So my mindset had shifted from, oh, I'm just running to run, to, oh no, I want to run for this really specific goal that I'm passionate about. And when I got injured, I had to relearn what going slow meant to me. I don't love to talk about my pace a ton, but I think it's helpful here. I was running, when I first started my running journey, I was running like a 13-minute mile. I was, like I said, taking my time, not super worried about pace, and just over consistency over time, I was able to improve my pace from a 13-minute mile down to a 9:30 mile. Now, given that was over a couple of years, but that was really with some speed work, some strength, but just being consistent and showing up time over time, my body just got used to running, and I felt like the speed naturally came with that. But then after my injury, I went from running like a 9:30, 10-minute pace back to running like an 11:30, 12:30 pace, and that was really hard for me. So I had to like relearn some of those lessons that I learned really early on when I first started running, and one of them was going slow to get fast. I don't have any time goals that I'm working on right now, but just naturally having that mindset of running slow to go fast, I've been able to improve my pace from being at a 12:30 when I was injured back down to like a 10:30, 11-minute mile now, which is exciting. Again, pace isn't something I'm super worried about right now, but just want to prove that like over consistency and having that mindset of going slow or having a lot of easy effort runs to eventually get fast and just being really consistent with showing up can lead to more speed for yourself if that's something that you're looking to do. The second piece of advice that really changed running for me is how to run hills. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you live in Raleigh, North Carolina or been here, it's like kind of a sneaky, hilly place to run. Even in my neighborhood, I live outside of Raleigh, but even in my neighborhood, like I don't think I could run a full mile without going up some sort of hill. So hill training is something that I've naturally built myself into. And I also, since I ran the City of Oaks Marathon in Raleigh for my second marathon, which obviously in Raleigh, it's going to be pretty hilly, I trained for hills for that race as well. Now, I thought that training for hills was what I was doing, you know, doing some doing some hill repeats, doing my long runs on hillier routes, doing a lot of strength training that was good for hills. Like that kind of thing is what I had thought about, is everything that I had thought about when it comes to hills. Until I ran this race, it was the Bull City Race Fest for my North Carolina people. I ran a half marathon where it was super hilly, like the entire time it was hilly. And there was a spectator on that race that was just standing on the side. He obviously was a runner. He had like his runner fit on. And he was yelling at people on this really, really obnoxious hill. He was yelling at people to lean forward and fall into the hill. He was repeating it over and over and over again. And I'm so thankful he was there. I don't know what his motive was, but like, shout out to you because this piece of advice has really stuck with me for hills specifically. And he just kept saying, yeah, lean into the hill, fall into the hill, that kind of thing. So I'm hearing this guy scream this at us at the bottom of the hill, right? And when I start to go up the hill, I'm like, oh, okay. Normally I would walk, but let me see what this guy's talking about. And I kept running up the hill. I was leaning into it, and I literally felt like I was falling up the hill. I don't know how else to describe it, but I felt like I was falling up the hill. And that helped so much. I felt like I was wasting a lot less energy. I didn't have to walk, which I'll say, disclaimer, totally fine to walk the hills. Most races I walk the hills. I was going for like a time goal in this one too. So I was running up the hills, but like no shame in that at all. But if you are looking to run the hills, try this. Try to lean into the hill. Try to think about yourself falling forward. It sounds kind of counterintuitive because you're running up a hill, but this really worked for me. And I've taken this on pretty much every run moving forward. I think about running the hills. I've also paid it forward and gone to a race and stood at the bottom of the hill and kind of gave that advice to other people too. And I could see it helping them. So give it a shot. And number three, and I'm going to go a little bit more in depth on this one than the other two. The other two, I think, changed my running in a very functional way. Like going slow to go fast, that was something that I was able to see just through consistency. A small tweak in my running form is what was able to help me with running up hills. But for this next one, this was more of a mindset thing for me. The mindset shift for me over time was that your goals can be anything that you want them to. I think a lot of times with running, we forget that we're hobbyists in this. And I don't want everybody to take that as a negative. Like when I say that you're a hobby runner, that just means you're not being paid to professionally run. Like this is not your job. Your life is not depending on this. These are personal goals for ourselves. And I think sometimes we can get really, really wrapped up in our goals, which again, not a bad thing. I think it's good to be goal-oriented. But I also want to remind you that your goals can be whatever you want them to be. So they could be pace focused. We talked about pace on this episode. They could be pace focused. That's totally fine, as long as it's healthy, right? They could be injury focused. They could be focused on running pain free. They could be strength focused. They could even get as nuanced as I interviewed this person, Erica. Shout out to you if you're still listening. But her goal on all of the marathons that she runs now is to smile. Like, how many times can she smile? So your goals can literally be anything that you want them to. And I think setting, like I said, big goals are good, but set some goals that are achievable for you as well. We talk, let's take a race for example. Let's take Eugene for me, for example, because that was the race going into it that I had that really rough training block. I was injured going, I wasn't feeling super confident, and I knew that if I put a pace goal on myself for that race, that I was setting myself up to fail because I didn't know what was going to happen. My body was feeling weird. It was a weird race, right? I traveled to that race. Like there was a lot of factors that were not in my favor necessarily. And so if I put a pace goal on that race, I would have had a really hard time with it, mentally, physically, all of it. Instead, I put other goals on myself. I told myself that I wanted to talk to as many people as I could because I knew I was going to be in the mid to back of the packers. And shout out to y'all because you are the best humans that I literally ever met during a race. So I told myself I wanted to talk to more people. I told myself I wanted to run 10 miles, the first 10 miles of the race with my mom because she was running the half marathon for that race. I had a goal around nutrition. I think nutrition is a really great, easy win for yourself because if you hit the goal, that means that you're fueling well and that's just going to help your overall performance. So I had a goal around making sure I was fueling every 30 minutes and drinking water every 15, things like that. I had a goal around how many aid stations I wanted to walk through, a goal about how many hills I wanted to walk. I had all these things. And by the way, great distractions during a race to have a lot of these goals because you're almost like checking things off a scavenger hunt as you go. But your goals can be whatever you want them to be. And if you're going to set those big goals, have an ABC goal. And if you're not familiar with it, what an ABC goal is, it's just having multiple different like levels of your goals so that you still can achieve something by the end of the day. So, for example, your A goal might be a 4 hour marathon or a 4.5 hour marathon or whatever it might be. Your goal might be that pace. But your B goal, if things go wrong, could be that nutrition aspect, or it could just be a different time goal. Okay, if I don't hit my 4:30, I could still PR with a 4:45. So that's my B goal, something like that. and your C goal is like, usually your C goal is finish. So it, as at the end of the day, you want something that you're going to be able to achieve and feel good about, and making sure that you're not setting the bar so high that you're consistently not hitting your goals and getting frustrated. I think another thing that goes along with this is being realistic about your goals as well. I'm going to tell a little bit of a story, and I'm sorry if I'm being repetitive because I did touch on this a little bit last time, but I just want to speak from my own experience here. When I was training for my last marathon, I was training with an app that was giving me paces that were a little bit out of my comfort zone, and not in just a, oh, I it's pushing me to get better kind of way, because I was going for a time goal, so I did expect the workouts to be hard, but this was in a way that the every single run that I was running, I was PRing. So I was just going way too fast, and the paces were no, it was not a gradual build, a consistent build like it should have been. It was very, very aggressive from the beginning. And I was getting really frustrated with myself. Probably 2 weeks in, I felt like every single run, I couldn't hit a single pace that was set out for me. I was starting to question my time goal and starting to question if I was being too aggressive with it. I was starting to hurt myself, like we talked about on the last one. I won't go too in depth there, but I the goals were that, or the paces there were set up for me to fail, because I just wasn't physically there yet. So I think the other side of this, goal setting and setting big goals for yourself, is also being realistic, right? There, if a 4 hour marathon is your goal and you're currently running a 5 hour marathon, or we could go even further, we could say if you're running a 6 hour marathon right now and you're looking to get down to a 5 hour marathon, that's an hour off of your marathon time. Like, think about how long that is in a race, right? You're not going to be able to train for that. And maybe you can, but it's unlikely that you're going to get there in a couple of months. It's probably going to take a lot of work, some time in the gym, some cross training, all of that good stuff. So be realistic with it. And this is where I'm going to keep going. Oh, I'm going to keep sounding like a broken record over and over and over again. But this is where I think it's really great to consult a coach or to consult a running friend with more experience than you, or do your own research to kind of understand the real side of how long it actually takes to achieve these big goals. I'll give another example. I interviewed somebody on the show who, if their whole entire personality, all of their goals, everything was centered around BQing for Boston. If you're not familiar with that, BQ is Boston qualifying time. It's a time that you need to qualify to get into the Boston Marathon. And the time goal, the goalpost, so to speak, keeps getting further and further and further away from these athletes who are going for these time goals, just because of the sheer amount of runners that are running this race every year. And so this person that I interviewed, they constantly were thinking about this BQ, and it took them years. This was their goal from their first marathon to BQ, and if I'm remembering right, it wasn't until their fifth or sixth marathon that they actually ended up getting their BQ. And they would get close, or something would happen. There were a couple of races where everything was stacked in their favor. They were feeling good, had awesome training blocks, and just something happened on race day that prevented them from hitting that goal. And frankly, that was out of their control. That's not something that they could predict, right? You can't predict the weather. You can't predict a gear malfunction. You can't predict an aid station running out of whatever. Like, there's so many factors on race day that you can't predict. So I think those big goals are great, but I also think we need to be realistic about those big goals as well. So those are the three pieces of advice that I feel like genuinely changed running for me. Like I said, there's so many more that I could talk about, so many little pieces of advice that have just changed something for me over the years, but these are the three that I really feel like I actually was able to put into play, and things that keep coming up for me, as I continue to mature, so to speak, as a runner. I'm going to give you also a piece of advice on this episode as well, and hopefully it's something that you can carry into your own training. But if you need some help learning how to go slow, so how to start slow, because a lot of people, I feel like I do get a lot of questions about, like, what does slow actually mean? Because it's so relative to you as a specific person and your pace. But one piece of advice that I'll give you to learn how to run slow is to talk out loud or sing out loud on your runs. That'll truly tell you if you're running slow enough effort. So for me, I love to sing. So not well, by the way, but I'll do it. And I have no shame in doing it outside, because once I run past somebody, I'm probably never going to see them again in my life. So pick a playlist that you feel comfortable with, and start to sing. If you can sing an entire song out loud, you're running slow enough. That's a good effort for you. If you're not a singer, you could also just speak full sentence. You should be able to speak full sentences as you're running, to know that you're running slow enough. So call your mom, call your friend, have a conversation with somebody on a run. It's also just a great way to pass the time. Go to a run club and run with somebody and see if you can speak in full sentences there. But that's my advice for you to try. If you're having trouble running slow, is to sing out loud or call a friend, speak out loud. If you can speak or sing in full sentences while you're running, you are going slow enough. Thank you so much for tuning in to another mini episode. We'll be back next week and we'll see you on that one. Thanks so much.